great, like, technical fundamentals. They're grinding me about this. Like, this is awful to watch. They can get, like, four offensive rebounds in a possession. So they take a shot, miss it, doesn't matter. They get the rebound. And it keeps going on and on like that. Unfortunately, I think this might be a gentleman's sweep?
Yeah.
I think it'll, you know, probably be 4-1 going back to Boston for Game 5 tomorrow. But, you know, fingers crossed. 3-1 comebacks have happened before. I want to say somewhere in the 90s, one of those Hakeem Olajuwon Rockets teams had a 3-1 comeback somewhere in the playoffs.
LeBron,
finals. Obviously the most famous one, 3-1 in the finals. So crazier things have happened. It's the NBA, you know, anything can happen in any given game, but things aren't looking too hot. And I really think, and I'm going on a little bit of a rant about the Sixers here, everyone in this organization, Nick Nurse needs to go after this season. Daryl Morey needs to go. Josh Harris should sell the team. Like, just do the process all over again. Honestly, like, it's kind of over, I think.
Yeah, when we went to that game, you said this, like, months ago, but the Sixers' offense is just entirely iso ball. Like, give the ball to Tyrese Maxey at the top. Have him dribble out the clock, and maybe they get a good shot.
Daryl Morey has constructed a team of centers and forwards who can't rebound, guards who can't play make or shoot, and wings who can't shoot or rebound. And, like, it's a team of people who can't do the things their positions need to do, and you wonder why you're losing games. Like, yeah. This was predictable. I mean, you have Kyle Lowry taking up a roster spot to literally not play, even though you shipped off Jared McCain at the trade deadline, whose shooting would have been much appreciated in this series, right?
He's been playing really well
for the Thunder. But Daryl Morey said we sold high on him, you know. You had Eric Gordon taking up a roster spot for most of the season. And, you know, Andre Drummond, who we were both really surprised, is actually only 32. It feels like he's been in the league for, like, 20 years. But it's such a predictable thing. It's the same issues year after year, and they don't want to fix them. I really just think the organization needs an overhaul.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unfortunate what's going on in Philly. Like, Joel Embiid's knees cooked, appendix cooked, but you never know. Maybe they can come back.
I mean, the list of injuries that dude's had, man, it's awful.
One thing I noticed when we went to that game, Paul George, when he was on the Clippers, I always got the vibe that he wanted a smaller role, wanted more to be more of like a glue guy, defensive. But his defense on the Jays looks very good. Like, he's gotten back to that all-defensive caliber forward.
Yeah, and the offense is still there, too. It's one of my issues with Nick Nurse is I think they should have been running more of the offense through him. He had kind of some of that vintage playoff P, like, bag back. And they weren't really going through him. So, you know, what are you going to do? You want to move on and talk about the Knicks-Hawks series?
Yeah, I mean, it has been a really competitive series so far, which I did not expect. I thought Knicks in 5, but right now it's tied 2-2. Trae Young, former Hawk, a few years back, he first-rounded us. That year they made the conference finals, and he was a Knicks killer. They traded Trae Young, brought in CJ McCollum, and CJ has continued the tradition of Hawks guards belting the Knicks. He had 2 game winners in the 2 games that they won, and he was getting booed by the New York crowd. He was, like, riling up the fans. I mean, he's been playing, like, really well. And Brunson, who is the Knicks' best player, he's been playing like trash.
You know who else has not been playing well for the Knicks? Mr. 5 first-round picks, Mikal Bridges.
Did he
not have 0 points the other night? Like,
yeah, I mean, he last game, when he scored his first bucket in the first quarter, the announcer said it was his first bucket since the first half of the third game, which I think is absurd. You trade 5 first-round picks for this guy. He's like a glorified role player. He's a really good role player. He doesn't dribble the ball. He just catch and shoots, basically. Maybe he'll drive and take, like, a pull-up mid-range. Or he'll get on in transition. But he has no, like, self-creation ability. So, basically, on the court, you've only got Brunson that can create.
Mikal Bridges played in every single regular season game. I mean...
But his defense on Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who just won Most Improved Player averaged 20 points. He has been really good on Nickeil, and he did take over guarding CJ. But, yeah, Mikal also is partly why we're playing so bad. Like, in game four, he had 8 points, 19 minutes in the game. I saw rumblings about him actually getting benched. Now, I don't know who you would start over him. Right now, maybe I'd put Deuce McBride, Miles McBride. Also, when I was watching the game, I was just curious, like, thinking about, like, years ago, last year, what our roster looked like. And I felt kind of disgusted looking at it. Just an aside, that the guys we were taking off our bench, like, DeLon Wright. Do you know who that is? DeLon Wright. That, he was coming off our bench during the Eastern Conference Finals. So, I felt much better about our roster. Right now, Mike Brown has been running a 9-man rotation. Off the bench, Deuce McBride, Jose Alvarado, Jordan Clarkson, and obviously Mitchell Robinson. So 3 guards and 1 center, which, unfortunate, but better than DeLon Wright, right? But I don't know. I think benching my Mikal Bridges would be crazy. Like,
yeah, I mean, you got to think about how that impacts, like, the internal team dynamics too, like, in the locker room.
There's also, like, I think some sunk cost fallacy in it, that you traded 5 first-round picks for this guy. He needs to produce.
Exactly.
Like, especially for Knicks GM. Like,
what's his contract looking like right now too? It's
not crazy. They just gave him an extension. But
it's nothing absurd.
$150 million 4 year.
Oh.
But, yeah, I mean, it's been really, really disappointing.
Yeah.
You know who's been really good for the Knicks? Karl Anthony Towns. I think right now he's leading them in playoff scoring. And he had his first playoff triple-double in Game 4. And what I've noticed, Mike Brown, he was coaching the Kings last year with Sabonis, who's a pretty prolific triple-double center. Like, he's a really good playmaker in the pick and roll, and Mike Brown has been using Karl Towns a lot in the pick and roll. There was this one play that they ran like 3-4 times where they set a slip screen on OG Anunoby, and he drove to the basket, and Towns was palming the ball, and he passed it to OG, and OG got a dunk. And I just thought that was really interesting how they were using Kat as a playmaker. But, yeah, Brunson, game four, he only had 19 points, 38% from the field. I still have the Knicks winning this series, Knicks in six. If Brunson can turn it up.
In six, you think?
Well,
so you think they...
Nah, there's no way. If it's a, if this goes to seven, I'm going to, like, lose.
It's 2-2 right now,
yeah, it's 2-2.
Right? I don't think the Hawks could steal, like, another game?
I think they could, but they've been playing, like, really well. I think their guys have been elevated. Like, Jonathan Kuminga had 2 absurd games in the games they won. Game 4, he had, like, a mega stinker. He had 10 points, but 30% from the field. He was 0 of 6 from 3. And I think if Mikal Bridges can turn it up, like, one thing about the Hawks that I think in the offseason it'll be really interesting to see what they do. Dyson Daniels, who right now is their, like, shooting guard forward, he was Most Improved Player last year, right? Mm-hmm. He, like, elevated his game. He's a super elite defender. He was averaging, I think, like, 3 steals last year. This year, crazy fall off.
Awful.
16% from the three, from, like, 34.
He can't shoot. He's a shooting guard.
Only 2 steals. And what I've noticed, they do not guard him. Like, genuinely, the guy who's guarding Daniels, usually I think they have Cat on him. He's just roaming around. And you can't play 4-on-5.
Yeah.
On offense. You can't do that in the playoffs. You need to be able to shoot if you're the shooting guard. They do have Onyeka Okongwu, who's like a decent three-point shooter.
I was going to say, and he's, I think, actually really underrated as a big in this league. Is this his first year starting, I think?
Yeah.
Because it was Clint Capela was with the Hawks until
and then Porzingis, recently, but
Porzingis
they
for a while, yeah.
Faded.
But he is kind of undersized, you know, and this is a pretty small lineup. There's not, besides Onyeka Okongwu, like a lot of big guys on there, and he's undersized for a center. So that's another like roster construction and like starting lineup issue I think they're facing a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially if they run into like a big team. I mean, if you run into like, no hate to Cat, but if you run into like a beefy center, like Jalen Duren,
it's
like
clips.
Somebody who's gonna like out muscle you and like be out physicality you, it's pretty clips. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's, I think the one thing is though, with that, you do have Mitchell Robinson, who's mm-hmm. probably one of the best defensive centers and the best offensive rebounder, maybe in the NBA. Just his ability to like predict where the rebound goes. It's almost reminiscent of like Dennis Rodman. But like, I mean, just like the way he's on the boards.
Okay, I mean, I get what you're trying to say.
Like, but I mean, like, it's his ability to like predict. Like, obviously not as good as Dennis Rodman. Probably like the greatest rebounder of all time. But I think that could give them an edge, like, just to think forward when they maybe play the Celtics, hopefully. Like, last year they had started Mitch alongside Cat. I just wonder if we see Mikal get benched at some point. Yeah. I'm really curious to see that.
Yeah.
Also,
if he can't turn it around and they make it out of this series, he might get benched next series.
Yeah, 100%. Sure. Also, another guy on the Hawks who's been playing, like, trash, Jalen Johnson has not been playing well. And the guy who's guarding him, you'd think it would be OG. A lot of the times, Josh Hart is locking him up. Josh Hart, undersized, but his name, Hart. He has a lot of heart on the court. Mm-hmm. Hustle Player of the Year a couple years back. He's actually, I think he's third in rebounding for the playoffs. Or no, he's second. He's averaging 11.3 rebounds, which for like Josh Hart, he's basically a guard, but he plays power forward. Super impressive. So,
yeah, his shooting hasn't been amazing this year.
Yeah,
though.
That's,
it's been pretty rough.
That's the issue with Josh.
But
the
shooting
really
is
not
does,
there.
He makes up for it in the defense. Like he is locked down on defense.
Wow, he's been shooting 13% from the three, which is just terrible.
But I get, does it even out with Dyson Daniels? You know.
Yeah,
each team is a guy who's just so bad from three they don't even get like guarded out. On
I don't.
Perimeter.
He's not usually 11%.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember
he's like 34.
Sixers-Knicks on the series
season.
A few years ago where he just had like the flukiest shooting
streak
ever for
that.
A series, and he's never done it again. You know, he was shooting like 50% for the series, but definitely a rough one for him on the offensive side of the ball.
I guess you could also say like Nickeil Alexander-Walker, if he can turn it around for this series and start playing better, like right now he's averaging 13 points. As we said, he was averaging 20.
20, yeah.
Maybe they can make it even more interesting, but I don't know. We'll see. They play again tomorrow, which I will be watching and praying that the Knicks pull through. But we'll see. I still got the Knicks coming out.
Yeah, I have the Knicks, I just think, in seven, not six.
Yeah.
I think the Hawks take like game six, honestly.
It's possible, but if you're going back, if you're going to the Mecca, those New York fans will be turning it up. Also, in Atlanta, there's like a lot of New York fans, which is kind of absurd. Like, it's almost 50-50.
Yeah, no,
for
the
cheering.
The Knicks fans travel super well.
Like,
you can hear the Go Knicks chants breaking out during the games.
Brunson MVP chants. Yeah. Spike Lee courtside at every game. He was courtside there in Atlanta, which I thought is funny.
Yeah.
But that is the Knicks Hawks.
Another series that has been really surprising. Did we Magic up 2-1 on the Pistons?
Yeah.
Like,
I
crazy.
Mean, I'm like flabbergasted.
We barely thought that the Magic were going to make it out of the play-in. They lost to the Sixers and then beat the Hornets. Paolo Banchero looked bad, like generationally bad. And there's maybe
PB No J.
Maybe a little bit of off the court aspect to this as well. I've been told. I think what's his name? Wendell Carter Jr. Is dating Angel Reese now, and she used to be dating Pistons center Jalen Duren. So there's a little bit of like off the court beef between the two teams.
Yeah,
another jersey,
funny,
we saw
like
on
inner
well,
game
Angel
dynamic.
Reese.
But yeah, I mean, Paulo, he's has some sort of a jumper. Like he's shooting 36% from three. But I think the real standout of the series, Desmond Bane, pretty major acquisition. Like five first round picks.
It was a lot
for him, and he had a good season, but he's really turned it up in the playoffs, and he's shooting 41%, averaging 18 points, and he's turned it up for them. Surprisingly, Franz Wagner, he's been having kind of a bummy series, only like 16 points, but the Magic, good defensive team, locking down the Pistons. The Pistons, I mean, the real issue is no one else is making a shot besides Cade Cunningham.
Yeah.
They do not have offensive creation aside from him. Jalen Duren has been playing like trash. He's had an incredible season.
Yeah, I'm looking at game three, Jalen Duren had 8 points on 3 of 10 from the field. I mean, that's bad. Like
he was averaging like 18 points.
I will say though, the defense, he had 5 blocks.
But so. I think if like going into the playoffs, I think you'd say Jalen Duren is their second guy. He's not been the second guy.
He was going to get all NBA nods before some of those guys got their exceptions. Like,
and also he's meant to get a crazy bag. So yeah. I don't know if this lowers his value in the contract.
Well, it's been a rough like 2 weeks for him because Luka and Cade getting their exceptions approved for awards probably pushed him out of all NBA, which lowered his contract. And then this series is not looking good for him as like maybe a playoff dropper. So you're right. I think he could definitely look at a little bit of a decrease in the paycheck there. But
like 19.5 down to 9.
Yeah.
That is like prolific levels of playoff dropper.
No, it's bad. And there's also just no production coming off the bench. Javonte Green had 23 minutes. Also, I've never heard of Javonte Green before. Like, I don't know who this is they have playing 23 minutes. 6 points, 2 of 6 from the field, 2 of 6 from three. Kevin Huerter played 15 minutes, 0 points. Isaiah Stewart, 12 minutes, 3 points. Caris LeVert, 2 points. Like, there's just nothing coming off the bench for them.
Another issue with the Pistons, that similar issue to the Hawks, Asar Thompson, their starting shooting guard, he has no three ball.
Yeah, no, he can't
and
shoot.
He has absolutely no three ball. They do not guard him on three, which in the big 2-6 basketball, not a good thing. He's shooting 0% from the three. He is yet to make a three, which is not sustainable for a winning team. You can't have a shooting guard that can't shoot if your center can't shoot.
Mm-hmm.
You have two non-shooters in your starting and closing lineups. You're not going to win. I don't know if it's... Maybe they pull through because maybe Jalen Duren starts playing well. Maybe someone else starts playing better. Like Tobias Harris is their second best player right now. Crumble Cookie.
Notorious playoff dropper, Tobias Harris. 38 minutes, 23 points out of him. 50% from the field, but only 33 from the three. It's bad. It's looking bad. They can't shoot. Honestly, the Magic side of the ball really is not looking that much better. Paolo Banchero in game three, 38 minutes, 25 points, and 11 of 14 from the free throw line. So basically half his points coming from free throws while playing 40 minutes is just not good, and only scoring 25.
Yeah, I think in the Magic, you have a team that has something to prove more than the Pistons.
Yeah.
Because we had them, maybe like a 3 or 4 seed, and they were like super disappointing this year. Paolo, Franz.
Yeah, they've honestly, the regular season, they were so hurt as well. Franz Wagner missed a whole bunch of games. Paolo, I think, missed a few. Desmond Bane, we brought him up already, I actually think was really lived up to expectations. Like, it wasn't unreasonable what they paid for him, given the production he gave them. It's just unfortunate that, like, the rest of the team wasn't there.
Yeah.
And honestly, he didn't do that great shooting in the last game either. 25 points in 38 minutes as well. Actually pretty efficient, though, 50% and no free throws. But it's just... It's two, like, teams that are playing below par. Or, I guess, above. They're playing badly compared to their regular selves. And so... It kind of evens out the difference, you know?
Yeah.
When neither... It's not like a Sixers Celtics where one team can't shoot and the other team is making everything. Both teams can't do anything, and it's like, you know, it evens out.
Who do you have coming out? Because the Magic are up 2-1, but do you think they're able to persevere?
Yeah, I feel like they're both pretty young teams. Neither of them have a lot of playoff experience, I don't think. So they don't really have vets who know what it is like to, like, duke it out in a playoff series, go to, you know, seven games, that kind of thing. I feel like I have more faith in the Pistons, honestly.
Really?
I mean, they have MVP candidate Cade Cunningham, and I feel like the Pistons have guys who are, they're destined to have, like, above shooting variation nights, right? Eventually, Duncan Robinson's going to go out there and just shoot, like, some absurd number from three one day, right? It happens every once in a while. It'll probably happen in game, like, five, you know, right? I don't think the Magic really have those guys. They don't have guys, I feel like, that are just going to go out there and have those wild, like, shooting really well
nights. I mean,
Desmond
Bane. I think also Paolo and Franz are two guys who could have, like, crazy
nights. I don't see them doing it that... Like, Mr. Roy
Rage,
like,
Franz is playing
Desmond Bane... And can we talk about that for a sec? Desmond Bane clearly has some, like, some issues going on with the
100%
the roids there, because he loves to get into fights. But I don't know. I mean, like, you know, Tristan Da Silva isn't going to come off your bench for the Magic and give you, like, you know, 15 on a high efficiency, like, 3-point shot, you know. And I feel like the Pistons have that guy.
I don't know. I think the Magic have all of the momentum right now. They're up 2-1. Game 4 is in Orlando. If they win game 4,
if they go up 3-1, yeah.
I think it's over for the Pistons. But I think if you're the Pistons, you're fine with that. Like, they really didn't make any moves at the deadline. I think they did.
What the Rockets did
a few years back.
Did they trade for Kevin Huerter at the deadline? Is that what?
Yeah, that was their big move. Like, if you remember the Rockets last year, they just went into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They were like, let's see what happens. They got Kevin Durant. Or, like, OKC, you know, you went into the playoffs with this young core. You lost to the Mavericks. Then you trade for Josh Caruso. You sign Hartenstein. You win a championship. Mm-hmm. So maybe the Pistons go out, make a big move. I mean, I was seeing some buzz, actually, just now on Twitter, like, kind of breaking news, that the Rockets might move on from Kevin Durant in the offseason.
I don't think that's ridiculous to say.
Which I think is, like, just, it's crazy, like, that they traded Jalen Green for him, and now
who's
they're
been
just
pretty good in Phoenix.
Yeah, now they're just saying goodbye, but I think that's nuts. Or also, like, Kawhi, I don't know what his future is with the Clippers. So maybe the Pistons go out and get a guy, but
no, honestly, I really think KD's future in Houston is
should
not
we talk long. About the Rockets?
Yeah. So Rockets are down 3-1 to the Los Angeles Lakers right now, who are missing Luka. They're missing Austin Reeves. Their number one option is LeBron. Bronny is, like, playing minutes in the rotation. He's, like, the ninth man. Like, he's not, like, some scrub who gets, you know, 30 seconds at the end of a blowout. Like, he's playing minutes. We actually saw the other day the first father-to-son alley-oop in the playoffs.
Absurd.
It's just crazy.
Nuts.
I mean, LeBron literally made his own teammate. Like, that's absurd.
It's the crazy thing, though, is that Bronny is playing.
But he's putting up decent numbers.
But, like, come on.
Given the role he has and, like, the minutes he's playing, he's putting up good numbers.
Like
it's really...
Not even... I don't even think he's putting up good numbers, Gavin. I'm not gonna... I think this is some crazy LeBron glaze.
I really don't think it is. Okay.
He shot 2 of 5... from three. The first two games, he had 0 points, 0 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals.
Yeah, but
he
got like 3
Tony
minutes.
Snell games.
Like five,
but Tony Snell games?
5-2-4 off the bench is decent, like, production for a guy who was really, like, the 12, like, he was like the 11th man in that game. I mean, they had, you know, Jake LaRavia, Jackson Hayes, Vando coming off the bench above him. Like, I feel like he's giving them decent minutes, honestly. Like, and if you look at the numbers, his plus minus with LeBron when they're on the court together is really good. Their net defensive rating goes up a lot when they're both on the court together. And also, the defense he provides them is good. Defensive-minded guard.
But Bronny, I just don't know how the Lakers are up 3-1 against this Rockets
team. I genuinely believe they're a worse team than the Rockets. Yeah.
The Lakers are missing their two best players. Yes. And though the Rockets are missing KD, or they were missing him for some games, I just think it's kind of absurd. Like, lock in Şengün. What are we doing? What? KD, he got injured in a practice also, right?
He dove for a loose ball at practice and, hurt his knee.
Which
is
so unfortunate.
When have you seen Kevin Durant dive for a loose ball in a regular game? Why is he doing it at practice, you know?
Stupid.
But they have, do you remember what Kevin Durant was saying on his burner account about some of his teammates? This series has vindicated
Jabari
him a little bit.
Might be a little.
Jabari Smith, not great numbers. 41 minutes, 16 points, 8 rebounds. He did have 3 steals.
In the series, he is actually playing pretty well. I'm looking at the series
shooting
statistics.
Last game, 26% from the field.
He's averaging 18
points.
20%
from the 3. Yeah, but, on the efficiency.
But they are down
3-1.
They're down 3-1.
I mean, 20%, 2 of 10 from 3 is so bad. And they are down. Amen Thompson's been having an alright series.
I just think the issue is they're missing KD, who is their main offensive player. And throughout the season, he was basically getting all of the defensive attention. So you're missing your number one guy, their creator.
He was catching double teams.
And they don't
have
their point guard.
Fred VanVleet,
he's been out for the season.
Okay, well, to be fair to them, he was out before the season started. They've had plenty of time.
I just mean that, they were so used to KD having such a big load that now the distribution's all out of whack.
But also, you can't throw out a lineup where your starting point guard is, Reed Sheppard / Amen Thompson. That's
Amen, another guy, not to be repetitive, he can't shoot from three. That's
very, very similar to his brother. I mean, they're twins.
I'm just really curious to see how these guys' careers evolve. Because they're all great defenders, but will Amen Thompson still be on this team in, 2 years?
I don't know about this team, but I think Amen has a super long career ahead of him in this
league. You think so?
Just the athleticism, the defense. You can learn to shoot, you know?
But learn to shoot.
Brook Lopez learned to shoot the three.
He didn't learn, but he was a good shooter before. He was a prolific mid-range shooter.
Andre Drummond learned how to shoot corner threes. Amen Thompson
can though, if you come into the league, he has no shooting ability at all. He can't shoot from anywhere. Can he learn how to shoot a three miraculously?
Honestly, though, Amen Thompson, 10 of 16 from the field in the last game.
He's athletic. He
can't shoot
the
threes.
He's athletic as hell.
He's a paint and, mid-range demon, but he can't shoot the three. But that's fine if you build a roster that can support that type of player. That's just not what the Rockets have.
Yeah, they have. And
they're closer to it with Kevin Durant back, and like you said, that is really hurting them. But you can game plan around a player like that. And I think the level of his defense and athleticism is, so high that it's worth kind of developing a game plan around
that. I guess. But yeah, they have no one's making threes besides Reed Sheppard. Sheppard's shooting 9 threes a game and we know how important the three ball is in modern NBA.
It makes or breaks games.
That's what the whole game, threes and layups.
Yeah, and also, I mean, no bench production for this team.
Yeah.
Dorian Finney-Smith, 20 points,
Dorian,
2 minutes.
That's
DFS.
Crazy
signing. Wasn't he looking
signing
for a ton of money this offseason too?
He was supposed to be really big for them.
I know.
And he's been playing
trash.
Their
splash signing was Dorian Finney-Smith, and he's been awful. Josh Okogie has, 5 points off the bench. Aaron Holiday, 9 points. There's just not much coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Is Clint Capela hurt? Because he got a DNP.
I think he's just
bad. He's just bad?
I think it might be bad.
Yeah.
And we also have to talk about Şengün here.
Yeah,
he might be on the chopping block. And do you see those? I always see these tweets videos of Ime Udoka, Rockets head coach, just giving it to Sengun. Because he does some stupid thing on defense. He's a terrible defender.
Awful defender.
Like, Jokic level of just idiot on defense. Like, no defensive IQ. He just lets guys, like, go by him. Like, he doesn't even contest. His hands aren't even up. He doesn't even try to block it. If you're an NBA center, and he's not a Jokic level offensive guy.
No, nor neither with the playmaking.
He does not have the, like, acumen to be playing this bad on defense.
Yeah.
Like, no effort. He's got to do something.
Jokic, it's, and we'll talk about Jokic later, you can excuse it because he's leading the league in assists and rebounds, right? And, I mean, shoot it, he's like 28 points a game or something like that. You can excuse the bad defense. You can't do it for Sengun. He's just not that caliber of player to allow this level of awful defense. He's a traffic cone. I mean, he just stands there, and like you said, the guys go right by. And so, yeah, it's just, it's, this, I think, like, chopping block, like you said, for Sengun, chopping block for Kevin Durant. I think you kind of start over, honestly.
Who is the young core on this team, though, at that point?
I think it's got to be Thompson.
But he can't shoot the three ball. I don't know. We'll see, though. I mean, who knows? Maybe they get Giannis, and then who cares? Maybe they get Giannis.
I think there's no way Giannis goes to... you know where I think Giannis might go? Someone was telling me the other day, apparently him and Joe Mazzulla are really tight.
Really? I didn't know that.
Apparently they're tight as well.
But who do they give up for him?
Ship off Derek White, because he's... Like,
he's
not been great, so...
And Pritchard. You know what? I guess they could... And they have all... Yep. You know what? That's possible. Ooh,
you know
that,
what, Loki?
Oh my god, that would be so bad.
That'd be awful, bro.
Oh god. It would be so over.
Big three of Jalen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Giannis is winning the next, like, five rings, bro. That's...
Fuck.
Anyway, moving on, we have the, we have the Timberwolves Nuggets series. T-Wolves up 3-1. Nuggets stole the game last night. It's been a chippy series. There's been some going back and forth. Jokic was just fined $50,000 for a fight that he ensued. And there's some mental warfare going on in this
series.
It's
like absurd.
Jaden McDaniels, Timberwolves player, was talking to the media the other day, and he just starts listing the Nuggets players. You know, Jokic, he doesn't play defense. Jamal, he doesn't play defense. Aaron Gordon, he doesn't play defense. Cameron Johnson, he doesn't play defense. He just listed the entire roster, and you know what? He's right. They don't play defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's so bad,
like,
out there in Denver.
Like, it's... The one thing is, though, yesterday, last night, or two nights ago, Dante DiVincenzo tore his Achilles about a minute into the game. This is, give or take, it's a... this Jason Tatum tore his Achilles in the second round, DiVincenzo here in the first round. He's probably not going to be back next year. I hate to call him this, but Jason Tatum, his nickname is The Anomaly. He was the anomaly with Achilles recoveries coming back that early. I don't think DiVincenzo is back at all next year.
But he had the same surgeon do the surgery for him.
Did he? It's such a difficult thing to recover from. The problem is, next year is a contract year for Dante DiVincenzo, so it kind of screws him over a little bit, just the timing of this injury and how everything's going to work out. And I really feel for him. Like, that's a real rough one to have to deal with. Also, Anthony Edwards left Saturday's game with, I want to say it's like a hyperextended knee, which doesn't actually sound that bad, but I don't know if you remember, way back when, in the 21 championship, Giannis Antetokounmpo had like the same issue with a hyperextended knee, and he played through it, and he says he can still feel it to this day. It is something that can, like, really stick with you if you try and play through it.
Yeah, I think he just sits out.
I think you sit the rest of the series. Let Jaden McDaniels go out there and, you know, mess
and
with
Ayo
the...
Dosunmu had Ayo a crazy Dosunmu game.
Traded from the Bulls for, like, a bag of chips, right? Like, it was like, just, like, nothing they got him for. He's been having a great playoffs. Shout out my friend Cole Hessman from home. He's a big Timberwolves fan, and he's been super excited with what they have going on in there. But one thing I guess I want to talk about with the Timberwolves that they really could have done to improve. I don't know if you remember, they were really hoping they could get Giannis at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
So they shipped off Mike Conley to the Bulls to make space. And the Bulls said, you can have Kobe White for him. And they said, nah, we're good. We'll just clear up the cap space for Giannis, who they ended up not getting. And as it turns out, wasn't even available to begin with. The Bulls then sent Kobe White to the Hornets, who lost in the play-in, yes. But Kobe White was really good for them post-trade deadline and in the play-in. If they had Kobe White on this team, I think it's elevated
Kobe White
to another
hit
level.
That three to hit them into the play-in.
I genuinely, if they had Kobe White, I think this is a super serious championship contender.
Like,
honestly,
I wouldn't say that, go that far, but maybe like
elevate them a little more. Because we had them as like dubious contenders. We said that they were, you know, maybe Western Conference Finals, but probably don't make it to the finals, right?
Yeah.
You
know who's been really outstanding, though, in this series? Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
He's been playing stellar defense on Nikola Jokic. And mm-hmm. I've been seeing a lot of people saying, I mean, this series has been so bad for Jokic PR. People are, like, dropping him as the best player in the world. Like, and especially with Jokic, another guy like Şengün. Şengün is baby Jokic, people often say. No defense. Like, truly, like, hilarious amounts of, like, how terrible they are on defense. But really great offensive player. And Jokic being shut down and being really bad on offense really, like, shows it just makes the defense being bad even worse. Like, if he's giving you nothing on offense, the lack of defense is terrible for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just, it's a bad look to be having, like, a kind of stinker of a series, and then you turn around and you start fights over, like,
yeah,
you know, like, small, like, really dumb things.
Hitting a layup.
It's bad looks.
When
they're
up by 30. It's just stupid.
Really bad looks.
And this is, his averages may not, like, scream that he's bad, too.
I mean, he's having, like, triple
like,
doubles.
Yeah,
so,
he's averaging 25...
It's
14 rebounds.
It
wow.
speaks to
and
the caliber of Jokic that we call it like a 25-point triple-double, a bad game for him. But I think it kind of, the box score watching maybe understates just how bad the defense is and how, like, you know.
I think look at the shooting splits, though. He's shooting 39 from the field and 18 from three.
Yeah, it's bad.
And he's usually like a 39-40% from three.
Yeah, he is that goofy, like, over-the-head Euro, like, three-point that, you know, somehow always finds its way into the basket. That's just not hitting this series.
And, I mean, this team does not look as deep as we thought. Like, Jonas Valanciunas, he's getting DNPs in mm-hmm. this series. I don't think he hasn't played in the series. And one of the main reasons they traded
Michael Porter Jr.
was to pick up Jonas Valanciunas. Mm-hmm. Like, the money, like, not to get too into the money details, but They signed Bruce Brown and Tim Hardaway Jr. to vet mins. So they could have done that with Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah.
They went out and got Valanciunas. Mm-hmm. And he's making like $10 million to not play. Yeah.
And MPJ, obviously the Nets are like disgustingly awful. Like, they're really, really bad. But MPJ was putting up numbers there. He was shooting really well. Like, mentoring a lot of the young guys there too. And they really miss him, honestly, because that elevates their team a lot if they had him. They traded him for Cameron Johnson, who has been just, like, bad. Like, really bad. And you know who else has been just having stinker after stinker for them? Christian Braun, who got something like, it was like 4 years, $125 million after last season. Just bad. Like, bad numbers, bad shooting, bad everything, honestly.
And I think another issue for the Nuggets right now, Aaron Gordon, this whole season, he's just been, like, riddled with injuries. Like, his hamstring was a lingering injury throughout the season, and he's only played 3 games in the series, only played 29 minutes, and I think probably part of why he can't play as many minutes is just he hasn't been, like, in game shape this season.
It's really hard to come back from not playing to NBA speed that
quick. Also, without, what's his name?
Peyton Watson,
yeah. And he was really big for them for a mm-hmm. while this season.
Yeah.
But, yeah, to the Timberwolves again, I mean, Who do you think pulls out of this series now?
It's 3-1.
I don't think
the Nuggets pull off a 3-1 comeback.
Edwards.
Maybe they steal game 5, but I think Nuggets... I think Timberwolves win in 6. I don't... Like, sure, Ant might be out, and DiVincenzo as well, but there's no way they pull off, like, a fluky, 3-1 comeback.
Yeah.
I just don't see it happening.
That would be crazy, though.
Is it time to have a conversation about the Nuggets after the season if they lose in the first round?
Yeah.
Where do you go as a team?
I think it's over for them.
Jokic's window is
contending.
Closing. Because he's still playing an elite level, don't get me wrong, but he's pretty old. He's in his 30s now.
And he's really, like,
and he's
slow.
He's slow.
He can't jump.
Mentally, like, you also think, like, there's maybe a little bit of, like, a Ben Simmons aspect of, like, does he even really want to play basketball that much?
I think he does. I think it's all a show. I feel like it's like a persona in a way. You think?
I don't know.
He actually,
like,
hates basketball?
I don't think he hates basketball. I just think, like, he could also go retire back to Serbia and be fully happy in his life with the, like, you know, hundreds of millions
and
he's already
horses.
Made and the horses he races, you know. And outside of Jokic, like, there aren't any bright spots on this team, dude. You have maybe 2 young guys in Christian Brown and Peyton Watson, and that's, like...
I think Peyton Watson maybe, like... But they might lose him, because he's
honestly,
a unrestricted free agent.
You can't build a franchise around Peyton Watson. They're not going to have a good pick in this draft, right? And so I think the team is in pretty dire straits. And it's unfortunate. I mean, Jokic, 3-time MVP. I think he deserves his 4th MVP this season, regardless of how the playoffs are going. We'll see what happens there. He was one of 3 finalists, along with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Victor Wembanyama. Notably, both Cade Cunningham and Luka Doncic, who applied for the award exception and received it, were not MVP finalists. Even though Luka...
I don't think that's that surprising.
Luka led the league in scoring.
Two-way game, Gavin. It's a two-way game.
Luka literally...
Defense wins championships.
Luka beat Shai in
Nico Harrison,
every single category. Right? Like... Statistically, had Shai in everything, I think. Besides maybe, like...
But Shai is winning the MVP.
But, like, I think it should be Jokic, honestly. And also, back-to-back for
I think
Shai,
it's either,
like,
Shai or Jokic.
Just,
but Luka's not sniffing an MVP.
No. Luka is honestly, I think, in my book, gonna go down as... honestly, I don't know if this is a little disrespectful to him, but maybe, like, a Carmelo Anthony type of guy who, like...
Jokic?
No, Luka.
Oh, Luka.
Not Jokic,
Jokic
is going to go down as a top 15 player.
Okay.
I think Luka might go down as, like, a Carmelo Anthony, like, maybe bounces around, you know. Melo had the Knicks and Denver. Just elite scoring guy, and Carmelo's defense was better, but never really wins a ring. Like, you know, doesn't really have any hardware. Because Melo never won an MVP. He didn't win Rookie of the Year over Braun, right? So I think just is going to go down as a guy in NBA history who, you know, elite player, but just didn't win anything. And that's going to hurt his legacy a lot.
So that's...
Are we missing any
Nuggets,
series here?
T-Wolves. What I think we...
Spurs.
Blazers, and Raptors, Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
Should we talk about Blazers, Spurs? Or, you know what? First... Before we continue talking about the playoffs, I have a quick PSA. I think usually we like to tie these in. I don't know if any of you out there know. This one could be for Ja Morant. Shout out. Shout out, Ja.
Is this elite ball knowledge here?
Yeah, this is elite.
EBK?
EBK. Firearms safety PSA. The 4 rules of gun safety. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. And this is 91.5 WMFO Medford. Thank you.
Is that EBK with Ja Morant? I don't know. I feel like that's like low tier ball.
It's pretty known, I think.
Yeah. His shooting in game sucks too nowadays. So
Do you think there's like rules of NBA shot safety? We could come up with that. Maybe we can submit PSAs. Maybe we can get that as a PSA.
I did not know we could submit PSAs. Can we just add them to the book there? For those who don't know, for the listeners, we have like a giant book of like PSAs here that we just flip to a random page and pick one. Anyway, back to basketball. Spurs Blazers, 3-1 Spurs. Not too much going on, but a very chippy series. Danny Avdija actually, I think, chipped a tooth the other day. De'Aaron Fox like hit him or something, and he was bleeding pretty bad, I think. And then just in game four, Steph Castle, like, you know, he made a shot and tried to like get the rebound and give the ball to Denny, and Denny got like super upset, you know, started to shoving match, like benches cleared, refs involved, everything like that. So definitely tensions running high in this series. But I think 4-1 gentlemen sweep Spurs, not much to it, you know. Yeah. Wembanyama actually the other day went out with a brutal concussion. I mean, his head hit the ground and he was out like he was asleep. It was pretty bad. That was game two, and he was already back for game four. Dude had like 12 stocks or something like that.
Yeah, that's absurd. The Wemby, like, knocked out cold thing was really scary.
It was, like, and you could
tell
after.
I can't believe he's playing.
He didn't, like, know where he was. And you could see, like, the day after he was at, like, the shoot-around, he was, like, stumbling around the court. I honestly don't know why they let him play. They really shouldn't have. But he comes back after this injury. 34 minutes, 27 points. A little bit above 50% from the field. Only 1 of 4 from 3. 12 rebounds. 12 stocks. 4 steals, 7 blocks. That is just unparalleled levels of defense. I mean, like you said, defense wins championships, you know. Defense is 50% of the game. This is, like, I don't think we've ever seen this level before. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. And they do have Keldon Johnson, mm-hmm. who just won Sixth Man of the Year.
And
I saw something. He's not actually their sixth man right now.
No, he is.
Dylan Harper is playing more minutes than him in the playoffs.
To be fair,
he's the seventh man, which
Harper,
I think is interesting.
Dylan Harper missed a whole bunch of the season with injury, but he came back and definitely ramped it up. You're right. He is the sixth man now.
And he's been playing like well for them. He had 27 points in game three.
Yeah, no,
like,
Dylan Harper has been really well. Good. Although I saw Ron Harper, Dylan Harper's dad, an NBA legend, was having like a little bit of beef with LeBron. He was talking about, you know, my sons made the league on their own, but Bronny only made the league because of you, which, you know, doing too much.
Yeah.
But Keldon Johnson, I believe, was the only sixth man in the league to play all 82 games without starting for his team. I don't think he started a single game. He came off the bench every single one. So I think deserved the Sixth Man of the Year. When we did our predictions.
100%.
When we did our predictions, I think we said it was pretty solid. And speaking of awards in the Spurs, Victor Wembanyama, Defensive Player of the Year. Both the youngest player to ever win Defensive Player of the Year and the first person to ever unanimously win Defensive Player of the Year. So now, both youngest and first unanimous, he was a unanimous Rookie of the Year. Realistically, he could have won the last like two Defensive Player of the Years if it weren't for injury.
Yeah.
It's time. I think he's in top five like defender of all time.
I think all those guys. I'm happy he didn't win it in the 2 years prior because you got to give the other guys a chance.
Yeah.
Because now it's Wemby time. Like they're gonna name the award after him after this. He's gonna win like
the statue
70 points probably.
It's
If he plays 65 games, he's winning a defensive player of the year.
Really,
that's
like,
basically
absurd.
What it is.
He has it on lock for the next decade at least. Honestly,
he changes the way you play the game.
Yeah.
Like
it's crazy.
You can't drive the same way with Wemby because he's so big.
If
he can block everything.
Like Tyrese Maxey shoots more from the three now, but for a while Tyrese Maxey was super big on being, you know, and he still is, don't get me wrong, a guy who drives to the basket and it's like gritty contested, you know, layups and like and ones in the paint. You can't do that against Victor Wembanyama.
No.
But he just stands above you, puts his hands up, ball won't go in. It's just insane the level of defense. And the all-time great defenders in this league. Rudy Gobert for Defensive Player of the Year awards. I think Ben Wallace have four? I think was it Dikembe or Hakeem? One of them had four, or maybe it was both. He will surpass them, I think, honestly.
Yeah, Dikembe, Rudy, and Ben Wallace hold the record with four wins each.
Mm-hmm. I think he's got that in the next 3 years. He ties at least.
Kawhi with two, and Dwight with three. That's interesting. Yeah, he'll beat all those guys.
Yeah, for sure.
100%.
It's crazy. The Spurs are really set for the future. You brought up Dylan Harper, really exciting point guard, learning from, you know, an all-NBA or all-star point guard in De'Aaron Fox. Steph Castle, reigning rookie of the year, defensive demon, six-man Keldon Johnson.
Out of all the teams in Texas, they're, like, the most set.
Yeah, I feel for sure.
Like, I feel bad for the Rockets. Yeah. Last year, they were the two seed. They swapped with the Spurs.
At least Dallas has Cooper Flagg, right?
Yeah, the Rockets are so nothing, hopeless. Bro.
Like, it's bad.
I also, when they back, not to retread on the Rockets. Yeah, relitigate them. But, yeah, I thought that trade was bad. And look at the Spurs did it right. They didn't trade for Giannis. People were like, trade Dylan Harper for Giannis. Building. They didn't do it. And look at them now. Maybe, honestly, I think the Spurs, you said this. You said you felt really good about them. You had them in, like, bona fide contender. I put them in the second tier. I feel kind of good about the Spurs now.
I really do.
I think they could, like,
seeing how some of their competition is playing, like.
And look at the Timberwolves, assuming they win, make it to the second round, play the Spurs. The Spurs beat the Timberwolves without Ant and without DiVincenzo.
Absolute.
And then in the finals, they obviously will play the Thunder. Yeah. No doubt in my mind. Spurs Thunder, that would be an elite conference.
But also, if you look at that series during the regular season, Spurs won it 3-1, I think.
That's right. Yeah, they won in the NBA Cup.
Mm-hmm. And we've seen Victor Wembanyama, like, he's kind of the anti-Jokic. He's very vocal. He calls out, he wants awards. And he's very vocal. Well, not vocal, but, like, he clearly despises the Thunder. Like,
and he hates
Chet Holmgren. Like you can just see every time they play, there's, like, a passion behind how he plays.
That one clip when Chet missed the free throw and he started, like,
just going
cheering.
Nuts.
Yeah.
And I really think that's, like, the difference, dude. If you see a fired up Wemby in the conference finals against the Thunder, it could be, like, over. It'll be a good series and close, don't get me wrong, but, like, I really think the Spurs have a shot at that. And, I mean, who do they play in the East? They'd probably end up playing, like, to be real, the Celtics.
Looking,
like,
at the East, is, like, still, like, so, like,
bad.
Mine. I think what decides the who makes it is the second round versus the 2-3.
Yeah.
Like, I think the Knicks beat the Hawks. The Celtics obviously beat the Sixers. Sorry, Gavin. The Knicks obviously beat the Celtics last year. Do they have the same oomph? Like, is this Celtics team better than last year's? I definitely think this Knicks team is better than last year's Knicks team. But you don't think so?
No, I agree, yeah.
Like, I mean, like, DeLon Wright was playing. Like, our point guard off the bench, he's on the Sixers. Oh, my God. His name's escaping me.
It's not Dalen Terry, is it?
No. What is his name? I forget. I'm blanking. Yeah. But really, really bad. Bad bench. Like, and you have OG and Mikal to lock them up. Like, and Brunson.
I don't know, dude.
Brunson.
Just the Celtics, like.
Who's guarding Cat?
Namias Keita, bro. Demon.
He's not that guy.
And also, like,
he's
the thing
not
is.
Cat level.
Like, I'm not going to. Like, Cat's a rebounder, sure. But, like, just the way the Celtics go after boards makes
no, but
games,
the
dude.
Knicks have better rebounding.
No, like I promise you, bro. The way, like, they try so hard to go after every ball possible. It's just really, like, crazy the level of effort they give in rebounding.
I think that would be interesting.
They thrive.
Because Kat and Mitch are really good rebounders.
They thrive on those second chance shots they get off of offensive rebounds. Because then they get the open looks off like an unexpected, you know, offensive board. And it's just, they make those, dude. You look at Luka Garza, their third center, goes out there and makes all the shots, dude. Baylor Schneierman goes out there and makes all the shots. Hugo Gonzalez, we saw one of his jerseys out this weekend, goes out there, demon. Like, it's really just crazy. Everybody on that team can shoot and shoot well, and they try so hard. The effort is crazy. Joe Mazzulla really is a well-coached team.
Kat was number two in rebounds on the season. Just saying.
No, like, Kat's a good rebounder. He's a great rebounder. I will give him that. But, like, when you look at, like, the four other guys on the Knicks and then the five guys on the Celtics, I really feel like they have the advantage there. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, it'll be interesting. They doubted us last year.
They did,
and we won. So we'll see.
Yeah, but then y'all got.
We still have to make it past the first.
Yeah.
But final series.
Raptors-Cavs 2-2. Have either of us watched a single game of this?
I did watch one game, and it's like, it's such a like.
It's such a meh lineup.
It's just like, who cares, like. Okay, like Donovan Mitchell, James Harden, like Jared Allen, Evan Mobley versus the Raptors, who the Raptors is like epitome of meh.
RJ Barrett, Scottie Barnes, Brandon Ingram,
like it's, the funkiest big four ever.
It's really weird.
And B.I., I don't think any of them are really playing well.
Have you seen that clip where Brandon Ingram like throws his towel to a fan and the fan throws it back? Like, that, I feel like that really sums up this team, to be honest with you. It's just so, like, it's just meh. It's bland. It's boring. And
last
honestly,
game, all the Cavs had such, they all had
this,
mega
this Cavs ups. Team really should be better than it is, to be honest with you. Like, you look at a lineup of James Harden, Donovan Mitchell. I guess who's the three, like...
James Harden, Donovan Mitchell 1, James Harden 2, Evan Mobley.
Evan Mobley,
and then
Jared Allen. But who's...
Oh, there's like, three? I think
who's
they
the
start...
Three? It's not...
It's Sam Merrill, or it's... I think it's Dean Wade, actually.
God, there's some other dude.
I think it's it is Dean Wade. And they have Max Strus and Sam Merrill and Dennis Schroeder off the bench with Jason Tyson.
They also have Keon Ellis.
And Keon's not really playing in their playoff rotation, actually, which I think... and that was their big, like,
but
trade at the deadline.
You look at the starting four... Well, the big trade was James Harden. But the starting four, like, those guys should be really good. And it's just, like, so meh. Like,
I think the issue is the defense.
Yeah.
Because James Harden and...
D-Mitch.
Two terrible defenders. Yeah. Obviously, James Harden gives you more size than Darius Garland did. And he's like way... He's good in the post. He's actually a pretty good post defender. And he's got good hands. But the perimeter defense is terrible.
Yeah. I guess you have Mr. AT&T Evan Mobley giving you some defense.
He didn't even give them AT&T, though.
Yeah.
He had 8 points, nine rebounds.
He's been really bad offensively.
Last game, they all just had like crazy stinkers, though. I think they do win it.
You think the Cavs pull through?
I think they'll pull through. James Harden is a notorious playoff dropper and a choker, but...
Know that one firsthand from...
and last year also, I know that.
Last time the Sixers played the Celtics in the playoffs. But, you know, it's... I think I agree. I think the Cavs probably do pull it out. It's... I'll say they win in, like, six. They probably win the next two.
Yeah.
But it's
six or
just
seven.
Like, who cares? You know, like, who cares about this series? I don't think whoever wins this wins the next round. This is the Cavs were the 3 seed, right?
Yeah.
So
or no, Cavs are 4.
They were 4.
It's the
so
4-5.
So they play.
Play
they
play
the
Magic.
Pistons. Ooh.
If it's Magic, it's
Magic.
It's a win.
Yeah, it's a win.
If it's Pistons, that'll be interesting.
It'll be close, actually. Yeah.
I really hope the Magic win, because that would be so much better.
That would
better
be really funny.
For, like, four... It would be, one, really funny.
Yeah.
Like,
Paolo Banchero playoff series win would be hilarious.
Bro, like... And, I saw something Jamal Mosley, who they were, like,
yeah,
totally going to fire
before. Coaching for his
before,
job, dude.
they're going to reconsider firing him.
Are
if they win. Yeah, that's
dude.
What I saw. Which is like, just fire him, bro. Like, this
honestly,
means nothing.
Wait. I'm about to throw out a crazy take here. Are the Magic this year's Pistons? Or not Pistons, Pacers?
Hell no.
We could low-key see them. I feel like we
no
could see them
way.
On like a little legacy run here to the Eastern Conference
no
Finals.
No way.
You don't think so?
No.
I don't know. I feel like
I don't think there's that guy. I think